good, ladies and gentlemen, please be lost. You might be in the right machine coming. Over to you, madam. Oh, it's Adam. There is a 2-3 page address from National Council on Education.
Basically, it's the presentation covers spending up to the 31st of December. Then I'm jumping to the point that speaks about spending is on track. As said, for aggregated spending is on track at 71.6 or 153.9 billion. Four provinces project to overspend education budgets, of which Northwest and KZN are spending significantly or overspending significantly, and how they project to underspend. In terms of the capital budget, 1.2 billion was added. However, they only have to spend close to the main budget. And then spending against the budget on conditional grants is lower than the total provincial spending on average. Challenges addressed, Northwest was impacted more significantly by redemarcation. Now the sheer magnitude of the shock combined with the use of incorrect data impacted quite extensively on Northwest in terms of the numbers of schools, learners, educators, and this resulted in extreme budgetary pressure in the Northwest education. And a one-off conditional allocation of 250 million was then allocated to Northwest. Also, the wage agreement is 1.5% higher than what provinces budgeted for. And the cost associated with this higher than anticipated wage settlement was allocated to provinces at 1.2 billion. This just gives you an overview of the provincial adjustments. I think the second last column on the right gives you, if you look at the bottom number, is the total adjustments of 4.4 billion, and about 6 departments are projecting to overspend in spite of the adjustments there. Highlights then, provinces show a slight decrease in the share of social services from 73.8 in 06-07 to 73.2. And this is, of course, the biggest, this is where most of the budget, all the provincial budget then sits. Focusing on education remains the largest set, the largest item of budget at 41.9%. Education then also spent 66.3 billion, which is 73.7% of that budget. This then just gives you a breakdown of the provincial expenditure. 6 departments are overspending and the 3 departments underspending that in aggregate. And then here per economic classification, the same situation, which then unpacks the 71.6 aggregated spending of provinces. In terms of social services, education, the budget is 89, the adjusted budget is 89.9, 73.7% over expenditure of 327 million, and there's a year-on-year growth in expenditure of 14.3%. For education then specifically, I've mentioned already that they're spending 66.3 billion at 73.7% of the 89.9 adjusted budget, and they project to overspend by 710 million. This is just for education. And most of the overspending occurs in personnel, and I think that's the point that you sort of relate to the point that the chairperson also made earlier on. Increase of 8.3 billion or 14.3% compared to the previous year's budget. There's low rate of education spending in housing at 17.9. If we take that we, if we consider that we're 3/4 through the year and we're looking at 75 as a benchmark, then housing against that would be 17.9 and Mpumalanga 71%. Northwest and Northern Cape reflect the highest rate of spending with in education, with 78 and 75.7%. Education personnel spending stands at 52 billion or 74.9% of an adjusted budget of 70 billion. And then goods of services also, mostly in LSN, is 6 billion or 60.8%. The capital expenditure is on the low side at 2.3 billion or 58.9%. And also this one needs to consider in the light of the backlog that exists in education expenditure. So spending reflects, for capital then reflects 55 million or 2.3% decrease compared to the spending last year. Now also that is a bit of a concern that we're moving back instead of forward, considering that there is a pressure in the capital spending. And then there's low rate of capital spending in Mpumalanga at 38.9%, Gauteng at 52%. The highest rate of spending in capital education is Limpopo at 82.5%, and Northern Cape at 72.6%. Now, this is the aggregated picture, and this is basically what I've just said. It's basically just packaging everything into the table. I think to the far right, one would look at the year-on-year growth, and if you look at the northwest growth, year-on-year growth, it suggests that the province's spending has actually declined. That's negative growth of 1.5%. Now looking at the public ordinary schools, this is program 2. The budget year is 74 billion, and if you look, compare that to the total budget of 80.
Just there. Mr. Miller. CFO. I think it would be very useful for you to look at that year-on-year growth, because the unevenness there, there is the very last column on page 10, eh? Because there's such a terrible unevenness there if you're looking there. Let's look at the Eastern Cape 11.8, Free State 10.3, Gauteng 21.2, KwaZulu 16.9, Limpopo 8.7. Something page 10 here. That's right. It's cut off up there. You must look at your hard copy. Then Mpumalanga is 27.4. And then Northern Cape 39.1. Northwest -1.5. 10.9. I'm just saying, this must be a matter of serious concern in terms of the year-on-year growth. The worry for me is the unevenness just across provinces, for instance. And I'm just not sure what's being done to address that at MINMAC, for instance. Because bottom line is that clearly, therefore, there are problems of even uneven outcomes, if you like. So I'm just saying it's a discussion we might want to come back to later, not now. We'll come back to that discussion exactly. What is the problem here? What are the drivers of this thing? And basically, how are we dealing with this thing to correct it? If you're looking at year-on-year growth, Mpumalanga, vis-a-vis their own performance, and so on and so on. Look at the Eastern Cape vis-a-vis their own performance. Okay? So I think it's a matter that we'd want to receive our attention. Just big time. Possibly that, I'm sorry for that.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. Reiterating what you've said, if you look at the uneven growth here, this is 90 billion, and if you look at program 2, which constitutes 75 billion, you would see that this is actually the driving force behind what occurs on the aggregate level also. So if you look at the expenditures here on the right-hand side, which are focused on that column, they northwest, which reflect a negative growth there, and proportionately to what we saw in the previous picture now, is also reflected in program 2 here. So, and specifically here, there are 5 provinces overspending, projecting to overspend at an amount of 696 million, and 3 provinces projecting to underspend there. And this program is spending at 74.1%. Then, in personnel, which is, of course, this sector is, of course, personnel driven, five provinces are overspending, projecting to overspend on this budget. Three provinces under, and there's a year-on-year growth rate of aggregate year-on-year growth of 12.5%. Northwest, again, negative growth there, low growth in Limpopo at 4.5%. And then also Free State, 8.3%. And also considering then that there were the priorities in terms of improvement of conditions of service and OSD. I'm going to skip this one. I want to reflect the capital expenditure. Education capital spending stands at 58.9%, a decrease of 55 million or 2.3% compared to last year. I think that is a matter for concern. The low rate of capital spending in Mpumalanga. And then Limpopo and Northern Cape reflect the highest rate of capital spending. Looking at the growth rate here, Limpopo and Northwest are projecting to overspend, as well as Northern Cape, and then that amounts to 96.8 million, and then there are five provinces projecting to overspend, to underspend, and then the year-on-year growth on capital expenditure in education actually grows negatively at minus 2.3%. Then conditional grants. I think what is of concern here is the HIV AIDS life skills education grant. It's growing at 52.5%. And if we look at the next picture here, focusing on the same grant, there are five provinces underspending or spending less than 60% on that grant. If you just look at the education section there, that's Eastern Cape, KZN, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Western Cape. And this specifically in the light that that as a country we and it also enjoys the political attention that we are spending at that low rate is a matter of concern at this point in time. I think that's basically, and then that's just detail about the specific grants for the education and training. They're spending at 587 million or 91.9% of a 659 million transfers, and then this is the HIV AIDS, the 58, if we unpack the numbers there, 87 million of a 166 million budget. Thank you.
Okay. That's that which picks up this time of the year. Very bad. This time of the year. Third quarter. Let's take the No. We'll look at them from the point of view of being in the ICU. And so we start with Mpumalanga. Gauteng is next in the ICU this time. And I thought Gauteng was long out of ICU. Mpumalanga?
Thank you. Yes, we're going to take a person. Thank you so much. My name is Bomane. I'm representing the head of department in Mpumalanga. Baba Nasishokade, he's on leave this week.
Decided to phone you.
I think it was a family situation that we could not avoid. I'm with the CFO to deal with the finance matters and our chief director of Mr. Mapoche. The CFO is Mr. Mkhorosi. We're going to speak particularly on the pressure points for Mpumalanga. We have an undesirable situation on capital expenditure, on the projected over expenditure on personnel that we're going to try to explain, and the expenditure at less than 60% on HIV and AIDS, which is a critical grant. What I'll do, I'll introduce what we are trying to do to address those matters, which explains why you have big documents, shared persons. Specifically on the conditional grant for infrastructure in particular, we direct the committee to, on the slide, you have, on the slide, if I direct you, yes. I'm going to direct you to page number 5 of our slide, the second slide, that puts the picture on the status of infrastructure, basically. As of December, we have a large number of our projects under construction, basically, with 0.1% at design stage, 25.5% at tender stage, and only 24.6% at construction stage. An area of bigger concern for the province is the large number of projects that are at retention. These are backlog projects that we've been carrying over from 2001 to date in the province. What we have done, that is explained in the other slides that we attached on that presentation, is to put together a special project that's supported by cabinet to drive expenditure, particularly on retention projects, in this financial year and the first quarter of the next financial year. That proposal has been approved in December by cabinet, so we get an independent implementing agent assisting our current implementing agent, Public Works, to push that expenditure. Before we do that, we actually have a commitment from Public Works and their contractors and their consultants already to make sure we close 550 of these projects within the financial year. If we do that, we're going to push our expenditure by 117 million before the end of the financial year on infrastructure. It's a plan that is supported by both by the three departments that are directly affected on this one, our provincial treasury, Department of Public Works and Education, driven at provincial level. On HIV and AIDS, which is spending at less than 3%, at less than 60% as of December. We've put together a program to accelerate that project. The CFO and the chief director will speak on the mechanisms that we've put in place to address those matters. So overall, we acknowledge the situation, but what we're presenting to the committee is there are specific programs that have been put in place. Yes.
I answered Willem, and I think that's not what I'm a question.
Okay.
Not so.
That's not my conclusion.
Yeah. Okay.
Because part of the bigger problem is what is it that they are doing about the same problem? Because we did also take some decisions when your provincial treasurer was here on Monday. Because we do want to talk to yourself as a priority. Because we've got to focus especially in education and health in Mpumalanga. And even your public works, I hear you talking public works. Your public works is also limping. They can't be assisting people that are in the ICU. So I'm just saying it would be nice to wind it up, especially because you do want to come back to your national department again, just to see what are they also doing about your situation.
Suffice to say, in closure then, we do acknowledge the institutional challenges in the manner in which infrastructure in particular is delivered in Mpumalanga as a province, not only affecting education. However, there's a realization that we need to institute different institutional forms to accelerate infrastructure delivery, and that commitment is going to ensure we're able to push expenditure in the province. Thank you so much.
All right. For instance, part of your bigger problems, as reported by your provincial treasury, you have prolonged tendering processes as a department. You have serious problems on timeliness and quality reporting on service delivery outcomes. You've got land-related problems. You've got late or poor planning and ineffective communication between, this is why I was talking public works, between the public works and yourself. You've got a shortage of internal project managers and project management units. There is a high rate of variation orders. Lack of accountability both internally and externally with regards to project completion and quality reporting. So it's a whole range of things that we've got to do in respect of yourself. CFO, do you know of this picture? Mpumalanga specific, and what are you just doing about that? Just briefly.
Honorable Chairperson, yes, we are aware of some of the problems. I won't say all of the problems, but we are assisting the province in a number of areas. Do you want me to only speak to that, or can I make a quick comment on the year-on-year growth question that was left hanging in the air? Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. On infrastructure, Mpumalanga has been, I think, struggling for a number of years. They had as their main implementing agent the Department of Public Works, and progress was definitely not what it should have been. And that is why the province is now seeking alternatives and speaking about another implementing agent to assist. So they have to find alternative ways. In this regard, we are also at this stage we put a team together, and we've made visits to the province. We've in fact compiled a manual which is now being sent to the province only a week ago, looking at the whole supply chain management issue and around that. So we hope there will be assistance. We're also aware that around the personnel expenditure there are challenges, and it mainly originated from the demarcation, and the part that came over from the Popo province. And as an example there, what we found in working with the province is that many of the educators that came over from the Popo province were at lower set salary levels than the educators within Mpumalanga, and these kinds of things will lead to different challenges from a labor relations perspective, and we have to find ways of dealing with that as well. What I think actually then increases the problem is also that many of the schools that came over from Limpopo with the demarcation are in quite a dilapidated condition, and not on in the same condition as the schools in Mpumalanga, and it poses a further challenge to actually refurbish those schools or rebuild or do whatever is necessary. So in a nutshell, I've mentioned some of the things, but we are assisting the problem. That's what I will share with you.
All right. Now, part of the problem, whilst I've heard that they are looking for another agency for whatever to deliver, there is a problem. And that problem relates to the Bible. Because these departments, education, health, and roads, must enter into implement and manage service delivery agreements with national or provincial departments, national or public entities, and any other organs of state, where such department, entities, or other organs of state manage or undertake construction maintenance on their behalf, and participate together with the provincial department responsible for public works in the infrastructure improvement development program. But then, the condition is this. your own provincial income graph now. May, where, in other words, from public work, may, where a receiving provincial department lacks capacity, designate an amount not exceeding 4% of the allocation for acquiring such capacity to facilitate delivery. But then, the condition for that is the percentage referred to in subsection 3A2 must be informed by a capacity plan prepared by the receiving provincial department and approved by the provincial treasurer. In other words, your public works must have this plan. So clearly then, the issue of looking for alternative agencies is a bit problematic. The public works must build in-house capacity. There is funding for that in terms of what I'm reading in terms of the law. But then, as I was saying, we are planning to go to Mpumalanga. 18, 19, and 20 we'll be meeting some municipalities there. But I do want us to have a discussion just during those 3 days with your public works, education, and then provincial treasurer. We've already spoken to the MEC of provincial treasurer who was here. So I'm saying we will take this discussion further. But let's monitor the, let's allow the engagement between yourselves and the national department. But also let we will be going back to Mpumalanga strictly to speak on these matters in terms of exactly what's going on. What is public works in Mpumalanga doing for them about their own capacity? Because they've got to build that up. Members, questions?
Yeah, so I think the reason why we really asked that Mpumalanga winds up, I mean, it's clear that they have problems, serious problems. But let me just take it up from Chairperson that I have a serious problem if a problem that is struggling to spend public funds, for instance, to find that the people who account get sick, or when they are supposed to come and account, and all kinds of things come up. And now someone who has no accountability, we talk to that person, I really have a problem with that. Because at the end of the day, the person that we're talking to has no authority. So we just bring, hot air, and I mean, the issues are serious. You see, the national CFO says the problems are not new problems. They have been there over the years. And now, but they continue to allocate them funds in spite of that. And your Bible, I think that is also very clear in terms of who do you allocate to, or what are the conditions of allocating funds. It's also very clear in terms of saying that if people have no capacity to set, it has to hold until they build capacity, because the Division of Revenue Act also makes provision for people who are not in a position to set to build capacity. So that's not just an arbitrary measure that says, well, if people can't spend, withhold funds. It needs provision, as you have read, that those people who can't spend, I mean, who do not have capacity, must be assisted by not more than 4% to build that capacity. Are they taking the advantage of that clause, for instance? To me, they do not seem to be doing that. And I think that when we at this level, it's not a problem. Perhaps it could be a minor problem. But the effect of that, as a result, unfortunately, in South Africa, the only measure that we see is a metric result. That is the only measure that you can see in education, in which direction is our education doing. And if you look at the results of metric in Mpumalanga, you know what to call it, it's a surprise when you compare with the issues that we were to call it, we see in. But we have a duty to deliver services to those what we call the poor communities. And I don't think that is our, I mean, we can't just give those children to suffer there because at the departmental level, people can't deal with that situation. I think that all of us will all be what we call a guilty of the relation of duty if we don't do anything about Mpumalanga. We allow it to go on and on and over the years. Well, we appreciate what the CFO is saying, the team, that is being done. I hope that measure that has been taken also takes into account that, of the situation there. And I think that's the person. I just want to venture to say, when we go to Mpumalanga, when we may talk to both the Department of Education and Public Works, but I think that also on the division of revenue, I think there's a case where we're supposed to bring these people together. But it doesn't work because I think that it would give us more time when we are in Mpumalanga to talk to them. Maybe at length to get to understand these problems, if there are problems of which the whole country, if there are problems of skills which the whole country experiences, we should all understand and understand what is being done and perhaps support the Minister of Public Administration and Services to expedite that legislation which seeks to integrate the whole public service so that if everyone is flocking to housing as we hear this morning, so other kids must go back to Mpumalanga because the government committed itself to deliver services to the people. So I say it's a general comment because there are serious problems that we must attend to as this committee. We can't let down the people of Mpumalanga. We must do something about it. If we have to go there over the weekend, so be it.
Look, part of the discussion we will have to deal with in respect of Mpumalanga in particular, in view of the fact of what the CFO is saying, is again something that is also in the Bible. Section 45 here says financial misconduct. And so, if this kind of a picture has been going on for some time, let me just read this first and then collaborate that with him, TFMA.
I forgot to remind you of something. You know the SOC of education in Mpumalanga? If you look at our record, continuously, is ever represented here by someone else. It's a trend. So today, we will be expected to accept apology. I'm telling you, it's a trend, it's an everyday thing.
Okay. This is why I'm saying I'm going to read the Bible and raise the question. Why is somebody continuing to be an HOT in the context of this picture? The Bible says, despite anything to the contrary contained in any law, this and many others that are in front of me, any serious, persistent non-compliance now with the Bible, non-compliance with a provision of this act, constitutes financial misconduct. Now, what are the consequences? Consequences. Financial misconduct by accounting authorities and officials of public entities. Accounting authority for a public entity commits an act of financial misconduct if that accounting authority willfully or negligently fails to comply with the requirements of those many sections 50, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55. Makes or permits an irregular expenditure, a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Financial misconduct is a ground for dismissal or suspension or other sanctions against a member or person referred to. And so, this is a kind of a consequence. And then maybe one of the issues then, Mr. Sokon, is also, as you've just said, as we go into Mpumalanga, we've got to raise this thing with the MEC there, the same HOT and everybody else. Why are managers still managers when the picture remains this picture for the period? The money is given to people here, conditions are stipulated clearly, targets are not met, etc., etc., etc. But then why do people continue to be managers in the respective places, in the respective programs? So clearly the issue of, look, we will continue to persuade people in our culture. But this thing called the stick must also kick in sometimes. Just to brought some people a bit forward. And so we would want to ensure that this clause is starting to work in respect of all of these matters. Do you disagree with me now?
Actually, I want to encourage you in a certain way, but then I think you're being too lenient. It's very clear what Section 45 says. And I think it's time that we implement Section 45. This carries on year in and year out, and nothing changes. As Comrade Gordon said, the same HOD, it's the same story every day. And if we're not going to do something about it as a committee chair, it will be the same next year and the year after. There will be no improvement whatsoever. Thank you.
So what is your proposal?
This year we start working very seriously with Section 45 and with the Bible and all the hymn books that are lying in front of you, sir. Otherwise things will not improve, thank you, sir.
What are you saying specifically?
Chair, that you should get that HOD down here. I don't know how you're going to do it. That is in your hands, and we think you should do something about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to support what has been said, that it is time you did hold everybody accountable. If there is a serious malfunction of any sort, whether it's this education or our other aspects of government, everybody should be held accountable. Quite right. The people, the South African people, and the economy, education and all cannot be held because of dereliction of duty of some people, or not looking far ahead enough. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Just the last comment. See, a lot of work went into writing the Bible and the hymn books. They're not there just to read and ignore. And I think we should really implement what's in those hymn books and in the Bible. Thank you. Very seriously.
As I'm saying, then we will be in that province. We will be raising sharply these things. We will be also setting some clear deadlines, and for everybody that's going to be in that meeting. And that is Mpumalanga. Now let's take the smart province. Gauteng. I'm told you're in the OPD. I thought you were in the ICU too.
Chair members, good morning. We will do a presentation via PowerPoint. And in the presentation, we will also respond on some of the critical areas raised in the presentation by the National Treasury. In the main, I guess, the presentation by the National Treasury points to two aspects. The one aspect is an overexpenditure that's projected, and on the other hand, it's an underexpenditure as well that's projected. And in the underexpenditure side, I guess the critical issue is on personnel. And we will continue to reflect that there would be an under-expenditure on personnel until such time that the resolutions that facilitate the expenditure on personnel for educators have been concluded. So we are waiting. We take express the current engagement that has just resumed, so that they enable us to spend the personnel budget that actually locked specifically for those purposes. In terms of CAPEX, you would see as we present that rather than reflecting and under expenditure, we clearly foresee an over expenditure. And then I think possibly the problem might just be the allocation issue, that the maintenance budget is actually allocated under the CAPEX. So if you check the two expenditure trends for ourselves, the picture is quite different. So I think the as of the end of the third quarter, some factors that possibly may contribute to a reflection of an under-expenditure are those funds that would be expended in the first month of the fourth quarter, which obviously activities happen at great length in December, such as your LTSM, such as your payment of matters, such as your exams. So those are some of the factors. So chair members, as we present, we would want to reassure you that while it may appear from the presentation that we are in the ICU, we clearly understand our condition and we're managing to be able to tackle with it. Mr. Cheney will take us through the PowerPoint. We circulated the handout, the narrative one, just to take you through. And as he prepares to do this presentation, the apologies from MEC Motesa. We would have loved to be here, but unfortunately we are in the legislature retreat. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. I think just to go to the crux of the issue, very quickly, on the personnel issue, we made a provision for four items that have not been put into full use. The one is that there is no resolution on incentives and rewards for teachers. It is an amount that was part of an allocation from about 3 years ago, and that matter has not been concluded in the year after. We have been keeping that money in our budget rather than with the treasury, simply because in previous reports, I think at least six provinces reported that they don't know where the money is for those revenues. In terms of education departments, and between their treasuries, they have not resolved those issues. So we did not want to relinquish the money to our treasury and say we are claiming it when the resolution passed. We're keeping it. We will try to surrender it with a special adjustment. The other two items, which are quite large items that are underutilized, is a provision for the government employees' pension GEMS medical scheme. We made a provision of 135 million rand to increase the number of beneficiaries, and there's an underutilization of that provision. And the fourth provision was the item around housing allowances, where people have to apply to compensate for rental payments that they make, and there's an underutilization of that, and we made a provision over 100 million. So in total, the compensation under expenditure that is projected are related to those four items. And therefore, we are quite confident that if we look at it, at our approved establishment and our employment versus the approved establishment, we are already on target in that particular level. So I think on the personnel side, I think we are in discussions with our treasury to see whether we can surrender that money before the end of the financial year in order to ensure that we do have a balanced compensation expenditure to actual levels of expenditure. I think on the conditional grant, I think Chairperson, I think it's the best looking set of figures we've had for a very long time. That even on HIV/AIDS, you know, we've gone to 79%. Last year around this period, I think we were reporting around 40-50% expenditure in this particular program. We put into place measures around all of these particular areas, and I think on the conditional grants, other than the PIG, this particular set of slides, I think we're on track. I think the problem that we have on the, and I'm going to skip the details on this particular program in the report, and I'm going to go on to the KTEX one. I think this slide here that we have, unfortunately in the report I did not update it. This one has expenditure at the end of December. In terms of the IDEP program reporting framework against that, we are now showing 590 million rand expenditure as of the 31st of December. And the reason for that is that the maintenance portion is captured under current expenditure, not on the capital side. Unfortunately, the majority of our budget, and this is a budgeting problem from the technical side, they did not correctly allocate the money from the CAPEX budget into goods and services to accommodate the maintenance portion. We also, as a result of the savings in the no work, no pay process due to the strike, have also, in the adjustment budget, increased the budget by 97 million rand to accommodate the projected expenditure. So even though we're projecting an over expenditure in CAPEX, that is despite the fact that we've already increased the budget by 97 million rand in the adjustment budget. I think what we've not, we did indicate that we had a very slow period of getting things back on track. We have delivered 21 schools in January this year, with another 4 opening before the end of March. In total, we would have opened 25 schools with a projection of a further 25 next year, just to show that we have managed to get our program back on track and that we've got our targets back on in place in this particular regard. In the next budget for 8-9, we've also increased our allocations to focus on the issue of rehabilitation and upgrading of current facilities. So I think in that particular regard, I think we're on track. And if you look at this particular slide in respect of the infrastructure grant, it is predominantly used for maintenance and upgrading. And that amount should not have been reflected under the capital portion of the economic classification. And that is what we will ask our treasury to help us adjust through environment process in special adjustment to make sure that it is not reflecting incorrectly. We have traditionally been asked to keep the CAPEX allocation under CAPEX, even though large portions of it is used for current expenditure. And I think for the new score, that will be addressed, where the current expenditure on CAPEX will be kept as part of the capital expenditure, and so we shouldn't have problems with that in the future. I think those are the two broad areas of concern. I think we do have some minor problems related to the CAPEX issue. We are trying to still learn to work with public works. We have been requested by our treasury, not treasury, by our EXCO, to migrate the school building program away from the Department of Public Works, and we're still trying to settle the business processes to hold them accountable for the programs that we deliver to them. And I think that is what we are keeping in place. And then I think we've had unprecedented rain in the last few months in Gauteng, and that is definitely affecting delivery. And then once again, the issue around load shedding is affecting delivery in some aspects as well. Thank you.
Questions? Comments? Clarity? And let's also welcome special delegate, our colleague, Mr. Hotule from the state, chairperson of the Finance Committee there. Comments? Clarities? This is the smart problem. Is this okay?
No, this is a smart problem. You can really see that it's not even in the OPC. It's out there and running. However, chairperson, there is a persistent problem. By the way, compliments of the new year. There's a persistent problem in Gauteng. I'm not sure about the other provinces around this. What was this allocation? This one, which is 3 years old, which is supposed to be resolved by this resolution. You know, Comrade Geraldine Leggett, I mean, Comrade Fraser Mleget, one year, it became very unfortunate. One can understand why perhaps she took the action she did, because she resolved and implemented. I had invited you to a summit, an education summit on the 26th of January. I understand that you did take class with your own, what you call it, but I'm not sure if the paper that I delivered there you had access to a copy, but I would like you to, what you call it, have access to, because I also spoke about this thing, that I need teachers on how they and many of them. And many people will say that, can you find us a job, man, when they're in parliament or elsewhere? And teachers are the people that we need, that must be there. We can't sacrifice them. I think that some of the issues revolve around issues of salary. Now there's this allocation that is given to teachers. Year after year, it steamrolls over. And by the way, I'm sure Treasury will tell us about that regulation that also prohibits this rolling over and over again. Maybe because this one is an issue of your bargaining chamber, maybe it's treated differently. But I would really like to see a situation where Department of Education, CFO, National, takes a decision on this matter, because it doesn't seem that there will ever be, will ever come to a solution around this matter. I think it's better if, at the end of the day, it will be withdrawn. But the ordinary teacher there, they want this money. The unions are putting all kinds of conditions. I think something needs to be done, must be resolved some one way or another. Unfortunately, they don't fall under us. We would make them to decide something if we had power to do that. Because the teachers want the money. Well, not the union itself. Now that we can discuss it outside the chapter. So, but I'm saying, chapter, maybe we really something must be done to find a solution to this matter. I'm not sure whether I don't know whether it's only a housing problem or it applies. But I know in Eastern Cape, I've met people in the Eastern Cape that told you that. It was what you call it, if the CEO of Eastern Cape could listen. Because we were informed by people in the Eastern Cape that it was partly what you call it, people were partly paid. Some people got it, some people didn't get it. I don't know what the conditions were. But I think that it may be a national problem. But also coming to this issue of the HIV/AIDS, Gauteng says they have improved. The expenditure has improved. We appreciate that. But also, Chair, in my what you call the oversight work,
Khateng will forgive me because I do have a sight there. So I have an experience, second experience.
Is that successful? There's no relationship between this program, HIV/AIDS conditional grant, with what the other departments are doing, your social services, your health department. Because you go to a school, you want to know, you ask them, do you know how many children here are either affected or infected by HIV? They don't know. Do you have programs where you know? Do you have programs? They don't know. But why do they undergo training? What is the use of this, what they call a conditional grant? Because they're supposed to skill teachers so that they can be able to handle those situations before quarantining them. But you find that at schools, there is no, what you call, infrastructure to deal with it. You know, we went to Mpumalanga when parliament was taking parliament to the people. They said that they've got offices there. And there's not. We went to the precinct. Also, it is the same. But I'm saying, so somehow there needs to be integration. The left hand must talk to the right hand.
Apparently, this was called as a grant.
The last comment, Chairperson, is around CAPEX and maintenance. Again, my problem says no. The problem is that there are two accounts on this matter. And my friend,
there's no, they are going to look, they are going to rectify this.
I think that it must be rectified. The sooner it's rectified, the better. Because the weakness of the members here is to look at figures. If you have not achieved 75%, as National Treasurer was saying, by the end of the third quarter, we assume that if you are at 52%, we assume that you understand it. I mean, we don't have any other, what you call, way of saying, but now, these people are not understanding, but they are standing. I can say also, Chairperson, again, as part of my oversight, positive, but I do see schools, many schools that are much from housing. However, there is a school in Donkey City. It's been built for over 3 years, I was told. But maybe what I should do is to provide the name of that school. And maybe before you leave today, how they have organized that. There, it has not been finished for over 3 years. I don't know what type of a school is that. So,
my colleague says that maybe building, they are building a university. It seems it's not me. Whereas Mpumalanga, that is not okay that are kind for university.
No, so I think that Chairperson, that is my comment, because we don't want to track a problem that is failing to assume that you're not failing because the accountability is not clear. Thank you.
All right. No other questions? Fine. Let me just raise. Mpumalanga must not respond to this. We will deal with these questions when we're in Mpumalanga. But Gauteng and the provinces that are here, Free State and the Northern Cape, etc., we'll have to respond to this. In fact, even maybe the National Department too. One, what we're saying ourselves is that transfers are not equal to expenditure. And so this FET transfer, for us, must not be reported as an expenditure until and unless some verification has been done. And so what we want to check then from you is whether then the report that you, especially on FET, reflect spending. Not a transfer. But secondly, If that money that's sitting there is still transferred, not spent, normally again in terms of Torah, it we regard that as unspent, and so it should revert back to the National Revenue Fund. So that's another matter. So it is a matter that you must take serious, ensure and verify that it is not money that is sitting in accounts of the colleges. Number two, what are the savings realized from the June-July strike? When? Underline, no feeding was taking place. You did say there were savings in terms of no work, no pay, but there was also no feeding. And therefore, what were the savings that were realized at those schools? Maybe the National Department also knows. And how many days extra feeding because of that did then take place as a consequence of that? One of the things we need to check again is to establish whether this grant is achieving its objective and at what cost. Because we need an indication of what is the cost per meal, for instance, per learner. What is the cost to the service provider per meal, per learner? We have an example that, for instance, the Northwest is spending 150 cents. Now, 80 cents of that is the cost of food for the learner. And 70 cents of the 150 is the cost for the service provider. So those are some of the critical issues we need to be dealing with here. That I'm talking now in respect of the school nutrition program. All right, Gauti.
Thanks, Chair members, and we welcome some of the comments that were made, and obviously they point us to the right direction in terms of what to look at. But I guess some of them are worth just commenting very briefly. If I were to start with the HIV and AIDS, in halting, all HIV and AIDS plans are integrated. We have a central committee comprised of all departments, led by Department of Health. And on a monthly basis, there's engagement to be able to look at the expenditure plans as well as their realignment. Education specifically is responsible for the programmatic delivery integrated within the curriculum. Okay, so to move away from the general campaign. That's why we never throw a party in a stadium about the HIV and AIDS. So it is integrated. The problem you have in terms of, I guess, knowledge, in terms of data base, it is a dissociation because that's voluntary and you can't enforce it. So no education may know the status of another educator or a learner unless they voluntarily disclose. So I do empathize with your concern around the nature of support and training when you don't have a base of knowledge. And it's an issue obviously that it's bigger than ourselves as education. But we do run DCT program. We've got readily available information in terms of the size that do testing for people who want to do that, and we encourage it. In fact, we did campaigns to that effect as well. The personnel issue raising, Member Sikoni, it's a general problem. And I think if all provinces were allocated the ring-fenced personnel budget, all provinces were, because it's one thing, once a equitable share allocation is the province, it's something else what happens in terms of the allocation department. So hence the ease. In our case, we do have the allocation from Treasury, ring-fenced for these conditions of service in terms of incentives, so in terms of gems. So it's important for us to account for that, despite the fact that there's a zero expenditure on them. So hence you find that year after year, when other provinces would reflect an overexpenditure in personnel, either they didn't have that allocation, or if they did, then either there's more on the payroll than it should be the case, okay, or efficiency issues. But we do surrender. We do have an agreement with our provincial president that where we do surrender, because the tendency in terms of agreement is that there's a retrospective payment. Okay, so we do have an agreement that in the event that the resolutions are reached and there's a retrospective payment, that treasury will reallocate those monies. Hence, making a reference to the point that we will possibly, based on the agreement between us and them, in the next few days, surrender during the February special adjustment so that it can be utilized elsewhere. And should the current negotiations result in an agreement in February, it's quite unlikely that we will implement for the general system in education in housing in March, then they would reallocate in terms of the next financial year. That agreement is actually a standing one. I think what is Eric just saying in terms of paper, we will clearly try and resolve the issue of the allocation. So we basically say it's not a non-delivery issue, but more a leave or allocation issue, so which we need to deal with. Because if it was a non-delivery issue, then obviously we would understand where you're coming from in terms of the case. But I think it's more the issue that we need to do. Okay, in accounting language, I think it's generalization issue. So we'll resolve that kind of issue because we are aware of it. The logistics issue, we were quite aware of it. And you're absolutely quite right to say it's been 3 years. And it has had contractors that will continue to be in this business. In fact, the first contractor we fired, okay, taken us for cost, they lost. We got an agency to begin to run with it. The second contractor also pulled out. And the reason has always been that they misallocate in terms of their own budget. Okay. And I think it's been a problem in terms of the CAPEX, general construction of CAPEX. People actually miscope in terms of being able to win the tender on the basis of a lower price and then realize as they get into the job that doesn't actually work. But we are aware of some of these particular issues. It's even worse now that you are competing for the building of the school for the same skills as you're competing for the stadium. And obviously the issue around the budget, around CAPEX, we need to deal with. We're in agreement with yourself that the transfer does not necessarily mean expenditure. We're quite aware of that. In fact, in our handout, you'll note that we've reflected in terms of the monitoring of the expenditure in the SEC colleges, particularly those that we had agreed in our discussions with Treasury last year to roll over some of the funds. So we monitor the current allocation as well as the rolled over funds so that there isn't any money sitting unextended. In fact, I've met with all the colleges in October, November last year, and some of the issues that we were dealing with were the very issues in terms of the expenditure. And I'm confident that lots of them would actually spend. And I've been able to go through the commitments that they have got. In fact, if you look in terms of our presentation, the lowest spending FET colleges is Funitel. And I have been able to look in terms of some of the problems, projects that they've got. So I'm quite clear that they will expand. In terms of the feeding scheme, shall we not have savings? Because we took a view that we had not agreed with the union to go on strike. And because we did not agree, we expected that the learners would be in school. And quite clearly, because he instructed the Lamas to be in schools, we would not have been able to tell the Sajid from Adam not to eat. So you had a situation where schools where Lamas were present, feeding happened. But we also had a situation where indeed they expected Lamas to be present, but the principal of the governing body shut the gate and Lamas went away. In a context where service provider had already procured. And of course it's not the responsibility of the service provider. They can't therefore incur those costs. And I took a decision as the accounting officer in discussion with social development department to redirect those fees to the centers that care for children in the areas where feeding has to happen. Because we took a view that it's government money, so we can't let it basically to get a good parish. So that's a decision we took, and we have records in terms of where they've diverted the quantity signed by the head of those particular institutions. So it's for that reason that we would not declare savings in terms of the school feeding scheme, simply on the basis that we could not predict that in a particular school where learners specifically, that they wouldn't have arrived at that particular point in time. I guess we think the objectives of the school feeding scheme in terms of the grant itself. And obviously, we're spending 120 cents per learner, okay, in terms of that. The split is more or less the same as reported by the others. Okay, around 80, 85 cents basically going to the food, and then the rest for the overhead in terms of the service provider. We are in the process currently because of the fact that we just had the Northwest School as part of the cross-border issue, and they entered into a model that's different from ourselves. So we're currently doing a review of the models that we've got for school feeding. The timeline is basically around April, May, with a view to emerge with one model in terms of school feeding. We still want to emphasize the issues of quality of the food, and that's what basically drives the issue around the region, because we have the view that the scope to be able to do that. Of course, national department has increased that allocation, and obviously it's given us leverage in terms of more numbers to be set, but at the same time, we want to couple the quality in the numbers. So yes, those are some of the things that we are looking at, and I'm sure we'll be able in future, once we've completed the exercise, be able to report both at the level of the province as well as the level of the department of education.
National Treasurer will come in. You see, this is an interesting innovation, but I'm just not sure whether all provinces did the same innovation, especially in respect of feeding that period. And I think we need just to check thoroughly in respect of that also, CFO nationally. What did each province do for instance in respect of this thing? Housing phase, they redirected social development. They also have receipts and reports that would prove that they then sent to these particular institutions. I think this is a very serious matter. It's a very useful issue that we needed to check basically, because clearly they ought to have been saved. Because on the one hand, because kids knew that they were also not going to school, and so there were issues of people really not going. You had then the service providers on the one hand. I'm just not sure whether some of them also saw this as an opportunity to not to waste the money for themselves, and therefore not preparing the food. I'm just saying, I think this is another area which needs some thorough discussion. Of course, I think it's an interesting innovation that housing did. It's a matter that I think, especially when they say about proof of all the reports, invoices, etc., I think that's a matter that is fine, but we shall also have to check with other provinces. National Treasury, we will be breaking for tea for 10 minutes, but just before that, do you have anything to say on the... Just before the problem, because I think I'll allow Mpumalanga and Gauteng to leave after tea if they feel like leaving, so that when we proceed with other policies, they must have catch their flight, especially before they leave. Mm-hmm. Anything? So that's what the issues we've talked about now.
Yeah, thanks. Just with regards to the service providers, when one looks at the intention of the school nutrition program, specifically directed at feeding children and not providing sort of employment to service providers, and one needs to be very careful when you start looking at when the situation doesn't allow it, what the focus for the funding should be. And then the second point was the maintenance. I think Gauteng is on track in terms of separating the maintenance from the CAPEX, because it does distort the budget, and one needs to get a clearer sense of what actually goes into our maintenance budget.
Thanks, Chairperson. I agree with you that we need some kind of an indication, perhaps collected from the National Department, of how the school nutrition program savings, as we may call it, was dealt with during the time of no work, no pay, because we find that there isn't even consistency in terms of, and I may not, it may not apply particularly to education, but I know of examples in health, where I can quote that there hasn't been where the policy has not been adopted, where people who have not turned up for work, their pay have been held back. So, in the same way, we'd just like to know what was the how the policy was adopted when the directive was given. That means, you know, in terms of particularly the school feeding program. Gauteng has a different case. Limpopo, they have a different way of which they dealt with it. So we just need some clarity on that going forward. I think that's basically the one thing. The issue about maintenance, again, is very, very important, because we find that was something that we discussed with when we did our benchmark exercises. That an amount is allocated, but there isn't clarity about where it is and what it's being used for. So that, again, is an issue. One of the things that's coming out very clearly from the deliberations, and it may not apply to Gauteng in particular, but you find that across the provinces is the HIV and AIDS grant, which you've raised. And maybe as a sector, and again to the national education, maybe, you know, a concern that's coming is, should we not now start looking at this grant being phased into the equitable share, and where this whole program should be phased into the life skills program? Because in a lot of provinces, the implementation problems that we are finding is about how to implement this and how to do the training when it overlaps with the other kinds of training that teachers need to go. And this fits in very nicely with the life skills program. So maybe we need to start engaging with that in another context.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Perhaps just to start with the second one first. It is something that is already being considered. There's been a number of discussions within our department over the past year. And I think it is something that will be envisaged for two, three years from now down the line. It is just that at this point in time, so just after the implementation of the NCS, and as the HOD of Gauteng has indicated, and as you all have also indicated, it fits well into the life orientation as an area, but it's then also ensuring that it is embedded in there and that it is up and running as we wish to have it. And I'm sure when we reach that stage 2 or 3 years from now, it's going to just become part of the equitable share. Perhaps just on the saving on the school nutrition program, Honourable Chairperson, we'll go back. We don't have the figures here. We'll go back and see if we can determine it per province. And we've we've made a note of it and respond back, Honorable Chairperson. But we need to take into account the different ways that the various provinces are feeding. One province may just have a service provider with a contract, and then there's a contract. It's true what the HSD has said from Gauteng. You have a legal obligation in terms of a contract. It's not the service provider's problem if the gates are locked. You can just put the food before the gates, and therefore you seek an alternative. But if you have community gardens and that feed children, it's a total different ballgame, and you won't be seeking a saving in that regard, because you can't stop the vegetable from growing for 30 days or something like that, and then they start growing again. So I'm sure that the decision was that provinces will deal with it in-house in the provinces, but we're trying to get a report from each province and to report back to the Honourable Chair.
Now, Chairperson, I just want to, with your indulgence, to take advantage of the, because the departments, I mean the provinces are here, including housing. Is the challenge now that is confronting us in the next few months is those students who have failed the matric. My understanding is that the responsibility of the Department of Education is to deliver education. But, you know, the way this thing is being handled, I think it is problematic, in that only tuition can only be received by those same students on Saturday, and not any other day. And, like I referred earlier to the education summit that we had, the resolution, the one resolution that was taken was that this education can be done every day as communities will mobilize volunteers and what and those kind of things. But obviously, the support of the Department of Education is expected. The Department of Education is spending 60 million. That's what we have heard the details are now. But whether the 60 million is being efficiently, what you call expended, maybe it's something else. If we would like it to be spent gainfully by the what you call for the ordinary student, I think that consideration can be made. Because the way it is now, that students must go to TV and what until Saturday, I don't think that it is going to work gainfully for an ordinary student who has failed anything. And by the way, this the problem is that these students, the way this arrangement is being done is because they cannot be fitted now in the current, what we call the curriculum. So it's proper that they must be supported and assisted. Thank you.
You know, I find your last comment funny, because it is that you learn until you're gray and old and blue. So I suspect people can always be fitted in any curriculum, because learning is kind of developmental all the time. But then having said that, there is, you see, I find what you are saying is fair or difficult to accept. We're talking a conditional grant here. School nutrition, and therefore, when it's given out, because there were indications that the strike was prolonging, and so withholding what to have been done as a form of saving, if you like. I'm just raising that. You could not do anything with money that's already out, in terms of the legal obligations, etc., etc. But also, what were the innovations like housing, etc., that we need to be looking at. But I'm also saying this is a conditional grant, not an equitable share. That's one issue. But secondly, there's another area of savings I think we must also look at. Again, because the provinces are here, that a province we know that had no recovery plan. There might have been some savings in respect of the cost of the recovery plan, if in case. Now, I'm raising this precisely because
it can be a situation where we like a federal country, if you like. Some provinces have recovery plans, etc., that we put in place. But then in this case, because there was a huge dispute between the union and the department, and therefore no recovery plan. So clearly there must have been some savings there in respect of the cost of the recovery plan. I think it's a matter that you must also go back to cost that, and let's see how much was saved in respect. And maybe not the Eastern Cape only, and some of the provinces which did not have this recovery plan. We don't really mind where provinces had some recovery plans. And that's I'm just raising that. Because clearly, it's a problem again of the, what is this, a particular norm, which is broken. Precisely because people would not therefore implement some of the decisions taken nationally, or for whatever reason. I think it's a matter that we must also go back to. Let's just do some serious audit with the Eastern Cape, both in respect of the recovery plan and so on. And try to the Eastern Cape nutrition, I suspect there were other matters body of just not feeding. Even though there might not be strikes, etc. There's a bigger, I think, savings in the Eastern Cape in the respect of that. Can we just take tea for 10 minutes and then come back?